Hi.
Where am I going to put this?
Hello, love. I'm Sarah Powell. And for a minute there, I thought it was spring. It was nice over the week. I went out without a jacket on yesterday. I did slightly regret it. But nevertheless, I stepped out of the house sans jacket. I'd made the switch from slippers to Crocs. That had happened over the weekend. And it was warming up. It was sunny. Margate was practically Ibiza on Friday. I felt like I needed factor 30. And it turns out it was just having us on. It was a fool's spring. But today we're back. We're back. We've rolled back into winter. Hope everyone enjoyed that. That was spring and summer for the last 3 days. That was it. So I had a wedding on Saturday, my first of the year. First wedding ceremony of the year. Lovely. And it was just around the corner. Even better. And sort of like a bear emerging from hibernation, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to wear something. I'm going to have to wear something like nice. You know, I'm going to have to dress up. I'm going to have to look the part, basically, to do a wedding ceremony. So I was like, okay, let's have a look. Let's see what I used to wear. Because all I wear is leggings. I've got the same four pair of leggings that are just on rotation. So I'm sort of in between trousers at the moment. I've got these great Marks and Spencers, of course, navy trousers, but they're a bit small at the moment. So I got out my maternity trousers, which are obviously far too big. And I was like, look, we're going to have to make something work here. I'm not going to buy new trousers to sit in between these two. But I decided too big is better than too small. I mean, trousers that you can do up are preferable over trousers that you cannot. So do you know what I did? And I think you'll like this. I took the navy maternity trousers and I got two small bulldog clips and I altered the trousers and secured them into place with two small bulldog clips, which I think is very resourceful. And that's what they do in the magazines with the fashion, isn't it? Look at me, the magazines, the fashion with the models. I've seen a Vogue documentary. I know what goes on, that if it's too big, they'll secure it at the back with a bulldog clip. And I think there's some bridal shops that do the same. Like they'll have one size and then they can roll it round and clip it to show what it would look like on your size. Anyway, I was very, very pleased with myself about that. Thank you so much for listening. Do stay dry and warm if you can. I love you very much. And I will see you next time for Elevenses with me. Hello, love. I'm Sarah Powell, and there is not a morsel to be had in this house. I'm like old Mother Hubbard. The cupboards are bare. The fridge has got half a cucumber, a very small, matchbox-sized piece of Wensleydale, and some tomato puree. That's it. That's all that's going on. So last week, we didn't do a big shop, trying to save a bit of money. I was like, I think I can be resourceful, like the bulldog clips on my trousers. I think that I can pull things together based on, you know, stuff from the freezer, a bit of a tomato, one lonely pepper, all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, I'm going to absolutely take our stores down and then we're going to do an enormous shop. And dear listener, that shop is coming in 1 hour's time. We're all starving. We're all absolutely ravenous, like desperate. He's going to bring it through the door. We're going to be like lion cubs on a zebra carcass, like that, trying to get things. But you know what? It feels good. I mean, I love a fresh page of a notebook, and that feels like this. You know, it's all empty, we can start again. And actually, there's something very satisfying about just rustling something up. I think I've done very well, though the babies have been living off mackerel pate for about 4 days now. Louis now is half mackerel. He's actually got fins. And actually, speaking of the babies, I've just noticed, I've come into the back bedroom to speak to you, as per, on this bedspread, there is nail varnish. Now, this will be Nancy, who for some time has believed that she can paint her own nails. The nail varnishes have been moved higher to higher ground. But when will I learn? So the other morning she was like, can I paint my nails? And I was like, I'll paint your nails. Sure, I'll paint your nails. Just give me a minute, right? And she was like, I want to hold it. Now there's my error. And I gave her the nail varnish. I was a fool. And then I went off, started to get dressed, dried my hair. Nancy was quiet, but I didn't realise until it was too late. And she came and found me and she went, I've got it on my hand. And I was like, what? Oh God, yeah, the nail varnish. So that was that. I did not know that it was also on the bedspread in here. And actually, a couple of weeks ago, because I haven't learnt my lesson, she got it on her dungarees. So what I would like to know is, how do you get nail varnish off clothes? I should point out, I have washed the dungarees since. I know, I've probably washed the stain in. But yeah, any ideas? You know, nail varnish remover just doesn't do a thing on fabric. Or am I done for? Is this it? Is it not possible to get nail varnish off of fabrics? Answers on a postcard or happily into my DMs. That would be lovely. Would love it if you've got some sort of terrific life hack. Otherwise, that's just our life now. Just occasional patches of nail varnish on things. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you in advance if you do have any ideas. I love you very much and I will see you next time for Elevenses with me. Hello, love. I'm Sarah Powell and the shop has been, glory be, we have food. We've got a house with, I didn't know what to eat first. You know, when you're looking at it all spread out, I was like, what could I go for? Oddly, and this was an odd choice, I went for a bowl of bran flakes. I know, just fancied it, just caught my eye. I thought, no, I'll save the other stuff for best. So I had a bowl of bran flakes with sultanas lightly sprinkled on top. And yeah, I mean, I'll come back to the toast later on. That's on its way. I'm going to have that at the back of my mind that is coming. So a small pause in proceedings today because just want to honour the passing of our printer. Our printer has died. It's no more. It's not having it. It's not interested. It's given up. Now, this is the second printer. No one's asked, but here we are. This is the second printer that I've owned in my adult life because the first printer, I mean, she was a gem. She was marvellous. I got her when we lived with my sister and we called her Pam. Pam the printer. God, she never let you down until she couldn't go on anymore. But I mean, I think I had that printer for about 8 years, which on the one hand is like, well, yes, it should. I mean, really, should they give up at all? But on the other hand, that's quite, you know, that was quite, it was quite a committed relationship for me with that printer. She could scan, she could copy. She had her own little computer screen that would tell you, it would give you messages. She was a marvel. And then one day she just couldn't pick up paper anymore. And that was it. That was the end of Pam. So I went out and bought a new printer and I based this printer on what was the cheapest printer available. And you know what we say, you buy cheap, you buy twice. John couldn't believe that anyone would go out and just buy a printer, like just off the shelf, no knowledge, no research. Just go, yeah, sure, I'll have that one. It's cheap. And let me tell you, I've paid the price because that printer has been crap. It's been rubbish. The ink's run out in about half an hour. Things were blurry. I used to print. I had to print weddings. That's the main thing that I used the printer for. And I was like printing people's wedding vows. And I was like, can you read this? Is it a bit too blurry? Are people going to stumble over their wedding vows because of this cheap printer. Anyway, that's the printer that's now died. And because it was a cheap printer, it didn't have the little screen that Pam had to actually tell you what the problem was. No, you had to sort of decipher it in this strange code of flashing lights. So you had to sit and count how many times the hazard light flickered, and that would then tell you what the problem was. And I sat and I counted 16 in one go, which meant contact your service provider. I don't have a service provider. I doubt this printer even has a service provider. So that's gone. And so it was John's moment to shine. He was straight on witch. And now it's the dawning of a new age, a new day, because a very sleek, very modern white printer has arrived, and it lights up. That's how it talks to you. Nancy was interested until I had to download an app to be able to use it. And this is the other thing. Because my laptop isn't the most up-to-date that it possibly can be, it can't print colour. I could print colour from my phone. I can't print colour from the laptop. And I mean, isn't that modern life right there? Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for coming to my TED Talk about printers. I love you very much, and I will see you next time for Elevenses with me. Hello, love. I'm Sarah Powell. I've got a cup of tea. I've had a pear. But what I really want to eat is meatballs and orzo, because Nigella Lawson's just posted about that on Instagram. And that's what I've got in my mind now. I'm like, yes, Nigella, very good. That's what I want. That's what I want to sit down to at 11 o'clock this morning, a full dinner with chopped parsley on top of orzo and meatballs. I feel like there should be a section of this podcast dedicated to tales from the M&S petrol garage over the road, because I just feel like I come and talk to you about it a lot. That's my life. I'm either at home or in that petrol station. And we are trying to go less and less because obviously very expensive. But we were caught short. We were waiting for the big shop. The big shop hadn't come. Nancy and I wanted to bake. I was like, look, we'll go. We'll just buy one box of eggs. That's all we're going in for. Anyway, on the way, John rang. He said, could you get a birthday card? There's an elderly relative. It's her birthday. I've got to send a card. I was like, yep, sure, we'll get a card. I went in to the petrol station, started looking at the cards. You know, you want something floral, something gentle. You don't want it's your birthday and Prosecco o'clock. You know, don't want anything like that. Something nice, lilac, maybe. Started looking, chose one. I was like, oh, I better just check how much this is. How much for a completely simple, inoffensive birthday card at the petrol station over the road? £3.80. £3.80 for a card, for a birthday card. I couldn't believe it. I said, Nancy, put it back. We're not buying this. I said, I cannot spend £3.80. I mean, she's a lovely woman. I don't know anyone who I would spend that much on a card for. I don't think I'd spend £3.80 for Nancy or Louis, any of my own children. £3.80. Went to the Londis next door. Lovely little selection there. Chose a charming little card, illustrated with a teapot, some flowers in a jug. Perfect. Went up to the counter. £1.70. I said, that's more like it. And then I said to him, do you know how much the cards were? And he looked at me like, do I want to know? Do I need to know? But you're going to tell me. I said, £3.80. And then as I left, I was like, I hope that he doesn't think, £1.70, I'm giving these away. So I called after him. I was like, don't put your prices up now. And he went, oh, no, I wouldn't. I was like, okay, good. Yes, as long as I've said it. £3.80. In Lidl, that's like four pastries. £3.80. I couldn't believe it. The £55 Easter egg, let's not forget. And now £3.80 for a birthday card. Thank you so much for being here, love. Thank you so much for listening. I love you very much. And I will see you next time for Elevenses with me. Hello, love. I'm Sarah Powell, and I've just polished off a packet of these. These are Café Rep biscuits with raspberry flavoured filling. These are from IKEA. The whole packet, it's very small, and yet it is an entire packet of biscuits. So I think I said this to you a couple of weeks ago. I was like, I'm going to go and work in IKEA because it's all set up for it. They've got plug points. They've got nice little corners to sit in. The canteen, obviously. I'm going to do the whole day. I'm going to do a full day's work in IKEA. Obviously, I didn't make it until 11:30. But nevertheless, I got in, got my free tea because I've got the family card thing, which is also free. Got an IKEA Twix. Went and sat down, found my little spot, got my laptop plugged in, ready to go, sat down, realised I'd completely forgotten my headphones, and everything that I need to do requires headphones. So I had my tea and my IKEA Twix, which was very good, and I went next door to B&Q because I checked online and it said they sold headphones. And when I got in there, the nice lady said, "We don't sell headphones, we only sell them online." So by this point, I was hungry and a bit sad. So I went and got meatballs to cheer myself up. Unfortunately, no mashed potato, a problem with the supplier. So I had it with hash browns, which was not the same. And then that was it. I got in the car and came home. And that's I went to IKEA for lunch. I went for a cup of tea. I plugged in my laptop, had lunch, came home. That was it. That was my fun day of remote working. I think I might have to try again because it was lovely. For a minute there, it was so nice. Did I mention the free tea? Also, those IKEA Twixes, I might have to see if they sell them in a sort of bulk load because they were great. I'll think about those. And also these biscuits, although very, very Moorish, it turns out. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. I love you very much. And I will see you next time for Elevenses with me.